How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I had to put my glasses on to get smart. Gotta look smart when I talk to Barry. So I had to put my glasses on to do that. 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of what we're doing, hit us up. And if you have questions, and I know that you do, feel free to ask them and feel free to be a part of what we're doing here. You could follow on all the streams, of course. If you're not listening to the Royals on the brick and mortar, if you're listening now, you're on the streams. We thank you for doing that. Facebook, YouTube, X, and Allo channel 950, 961. I do that all the time. There's so many channels. Channel 961. If you want to be a part and see the man next to the man next to the man next to the man. The proper way to introduce this gentleman is just one of the greatest voices that we've ever heard.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Glorious.
Hear the horses galloping on that part. You know it?
Oh, so good. So good. Coach Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy, QB coach. BT.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Are you with me? Yes, I am.
Too blessed to be stressed, baby.
Hey, man.
Good and getting better. And everybody's doing what they should be doing. I love it. Great day.
Man, we got to make shirts.
Okay, yes,
and
let's go.
And the front just says, how you doing? And on the back, it says,
good and getting better. That's a Bill Thompson special. Bill Thompson special right there. Good and getting better.
Yeah, we need those shirts.
Hey,
we need those shirts. You talk about smiles.
Imagine if everybody out there, when they're asked tomorrow, hey, how you doing? You respond with a big smile, good and getting better.
Good.
Hey, you're going to make a lot of people happy.
Good and getting better.
Yeah, it
how
is.
How are you? We went to this thing. I was talking to a group this morning, and I don't know why the message laid on me so heavy, but another shirt that I need to make is, you good?
You good?
We good?
Hey, maybe we can get Jay to call Greg Anthony for us.
Right. Well, we got printers now, so we can do this.
All right.
It's because we good.
Yeah.
Is good? Both a response and a question that lets us have a discussion.
Yeah.
Because if I look at Harrison, we good.
Yeah, we good.
Yeah. Right.
And then Harrison, we're gonna
coach him.
No. Harrison, if he says we good, you say solid as a rock, baby.
No. I'm going to give it to him. Harrison asked.
All right, DP, we good?
Good and getting better.
There we go. I love it. I love it. And then here's the other thing, another one. I heard two more. One is sometimes people will ask about your family, or and the a good response is everybody's doing what they should be doing. Everybody's doing what they should be doing. When everybody's doing what they should be doing, that's a good thing. And here's another one. DP, you'll love this one. Say, how you doing? Say, I'm just handing out lollipops, baby. Just hand out lollipops. Amen. You hand somebody a lollipop, they start to smile. Say, I'm handing out lollipops today, all day long.
Good and getting good. good and getting better.
Yes, sir.
Barry, I need to get into your head as an offensive coordinator.
Okay.
I need to get into your head as an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And we will work from the premise that as an offensive coordinator, how often should your quarterback be your best offensive player or offensive weapon?
He should always be your best offensive mind. Mm-hmm. So whether that makes him your best offensive weapon, I'll let somebody, but he should always be your best offensive mind. And so if that makes him a weapon, then he should always be the weapon.
Can he be your best decision? Your best choice?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes, especially if he's my best offensive decision maker. Yes.
So as an offensive coordinator in your most critical of situations, the most important play call in the entire game, the most important call, what are your priorities, Barry Thompson? Let's say for the sake of discussion.
Okay, let's start with one.
I'm gonna put you – how about this? I'm going to put you at third – and three.
Doesn't matter. You put me at fourth and third. If it's a critical play, I want my very best players involved in the play. One. Two, if it's possible in that situation, I want it to be a play that is our identity. If you're talking about third and short, but all plays are made better. You draw up a pattern with three receivers in it, and then you redraw that same pattern with three of your best receivers in it, it becomes a much better play. So, outside of third and short, I want my best – the play is going to be good or better if I have my best players involved. Third and short, then it better be my identity play for whatever it is that we're doing, however we're running things. If it's – I'm being – facetious, but if we're run and shoot, it better be our best run and shoot play. If it's spread, it better be our best spread play. If we are a power team, it better be our best power with our best guards and everything else. So those are the two things I would look for in tight situation.
You've seen this Nebraska offense. What is their identity from your vantage?
Right now, playing as a team and being solid right now. I'd give a little bit of a hint toward the defense that really, really, really plays hard. And I think that's the most that you can really ask from players. You're going to have different levels of talents at different positions. But if you get a unit that consistently plays hard, that runs to the ball, that executes most of their assignments, I'm going to give a little bit of the edge to the defense. But I would say overall, you watch the offense, you watch the defense, they play clean as a unit. You eliminate penalties. You don't turn the ball over. You play some defense, you run the ball. You are going to be in a whole lot of football games.
here's where it flows. That you're doing those things and you're in a whole bunch of ball games.
Yes.
But you're not finishing.
Okay.
You're not finishing. You're right. The identity of Nebraska football has been in recent years, and then this past week, consistently unable to finish. Losing one possession games.
But I wouldn't hang the things that had in the past. I wouldn't hang that on what I saw last week.
Okay. What would you hang that on?
I would start from last week and say that they're 0-1 in those situations with this crew. because I believe that this crew is going to learn from that situation. And one of the big things that you learn from coming up short is how many other plays that were gettable that could have kept you out of that situation to begin with. Mm-hmm. Another one of my famous ones I got from my dad, I don't know who originally said it, but he said the best way to avoid a bad situation is not to put yourself in one. In every game, there are 5 to 6 gettable plays on either side that determine the dynamic of the outcome. And I say that that way because you could have gotten beat 49-0, but I promise you there's 5 to 6 plays on that nothing side that, you know, if you just did what you wanted to do, maybe you wind up with 21. In a close game, those 5 to 6 plays, 3 of them went the other way. I call them 50-50 plays. Could have made the play, didn't make the play, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you learn in those situations is I've got to execute everything because I don't know which play is going to make the difference. And that's what that team should really learn from that. Not hang up so much on what happened the last play or that you came up short, but go back and look at the whole tape. What opportunities did we miss in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter? How do we finish the second quarter? How do we finish the third quarter, right? You know, was there a coverage call? Was there a blocking assignment that we missed? Worry about those things. Get those things tight, and the end of games will take care of themselves. So I'm going to call this crew 0-1 until they prove me wrong.
In that, looking at how offensive players call plays, how coordinators call plays, down and distance does matter, right?
Yeah.
Fair to say, down and distance matters.
Absolutely.
If you identify yourself as a physical offense.
Right.
Physical. And you're in a tie ball game, fourth quarter, 3 minutes left. You mm-hmm. have the ball, the opponent, inside the opponent's 25-yard line, 3rd and 3.
Right.
From your mindset, do you attack this? And there's several ways to attack it, right?
Right, right.
One, it could be with your personality and profile.
Right.
Which is if you're a spread team, as you said, you're a spread team, you do spread right. team things.
That's what we're going to do.
If you're if you're a power team,
right.
you do power things. If you're a physical team, you do physical.
Right.
Whatever you do, Barry, are you choosing to manage the situation and circumstance, or are you going to do the easiest thing for you to do most often?
Well, like I said, you want to do something always that you do well. So let's take the example that you're a power running team and you get into that situation and you feel that, hey, maybe as a play call that this, you know, they're going to overload. We're going to get too many. We can't get it. The constraint play is what should come into to play, which is you see this on the goal line all the time. Make a great example. So you'll see a goal line. Sometimes they'll line up in 13 personnel. Everybody's foot to foot. The defense knows exactly what's going to go on, right? And then we see it maybe 3 or 4 times over 4 weeks in the NFL. Everybody knows the play that's coming. They're faking the run, and then they throw to a tackle that reported or a tight end that leaked out, and they all say, hey, you got to do your job. You're a man. Keep your eyes, right? It always happens. So if I'm a power team and I'm in that situation, I feel that I'm going to be outnumbered. What I want to do is something that builds off that power structure to give me what I want if I'm going to take a chance and not run power. That particular goal line play is a good example. What I don't want to do if I'm a power team is suddenly go 5 wide and then, you know, because I think I can get them. That's just not in my personality. And it's hard to, I think, for an offense to be that diverse, to be able to execute 5 wide and power running, you know, all in the same span equally. You got to make some choices when you get down there. And that's where you get back to that identity thing. So it doesn't have to be power if you're running power, but it can be play action off of power. It could be, what's John Gooden's famous play? Something, something, why banana?
Banana, yeah. Yep.
That fits, right? Now you got them in a pinch. They're either going to knuckle up and get this power, or I'm going to give you some play action, you know, pass protection. My guy's going to leak out, and I'm going to dump it to him. So those two things fit together. But if you're power and now you're suddenly going quads or something like that, you know, I think it's a little riskier.
Isn't that the thing, though, Barry, that Gruden's go-to play has been practiced, repetitioned so much that it's almost impossible to fail at running it.
Yeah. You know,
right? Offensive coordinator I know was a plug nickel.
Right.
Has run this. They have a play.
Right.
That they've run so much and so often that it's really tough, almost impossible. It is the layup.
Right.
It's almost impossible for a team to defend.
Right. There are certain concepts that just put almost all defenses in binds. And if you combine them with what you're doing in run, because you got to remember, defenses have to basically cheat, right, to stop things. I mean, they don't play things honestly. They're playing towards something, and they know what they're giving up, and they're getting better, like I've said many times, with match quarters and things like that, at limiting the tight fronts and taking things away and limiting where you're going to go. Narrowing your attack. But on that thought, you know, it's something that hit me the other day. When you look at the NFL, here you go, DP. Look at the NFL. Every week that you look at the NFL, there's not a single play or a single defense there's not a single offensive play that there's a defense that doesn't know the play. Like they know. Like they know what plays are going to be run, and the offense knows exactly what defense is going to be run. And still, although they all know each other, we get these fantastic plays. Why banana still executed, right? Concepts like dagger, sail still executed, right? Even smash, Hank, those Yankee, those things are still executed, even though everybody knows those plays, right? It's not a surprise for anybody that what anybody runs in the NFL on any Sunday. And still we see this level of execution out of those guys. It's, I don't know. Just something crossed my mind.
but here's the thing. There's so many things, and we often say that coaches coach to their personality.
Yeah.
And they play call to their personality.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that gambler thing, we know a lot of offensive and defensive coordinators that are gamblers. Like, that's just who they are. That's just – and you understand that, okay, I can ride with this because they're going to have some success with it.
Right.
And – there are also going to be times when the gambler makes your head hurt.
Yes,
makes your head hurt because they won't go through. Another case in point, Barry Thompson. I know that you're an offense. I know you played safety in college,
but I did.
You are a quarterback at heart.
Yep.
So, Barry Thompson, it is overtime, and you win the toss.
Okay.
Barry Thompson, what are you doing? What are you doing, Barry Thompson?
We're taking the ball. taking the ball. Let's go down, score, and go home.
Right? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. The reactive side of it makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
Because it says that I need to. And you can tell me, again, the culture of the personality of the team.
Right. Right.
And that if we are defense first, right, there are people that are just like, okay. But to me, if I've got Tom Brady, if I've got Patrick Mahomes, if I've got Lamar Jackson, there are some quarterbacks. If my quarterback is a dude.
Yeah.
I've built my whole team around him.
Yeah.
He's a dude. I'm sorry. I don't want that dude standing on the sideline watching somebody put up a 7 and force in his hand.
Right.
I want him to be the thermostat and the thermometer. I want
It's an interesting thought process because whether you go first or go last, you still are going to have to stop somebody, right? You're talking about college overtime now, right? So college overtime, you're still going to have to stop somebody. Pro overtime, I definitely want the ball. I want to go down and score because – even under the new rules, a score, a touchdown, that's the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
So I want that. And you think about the college thing, you know, it's like, well, we'll have it last or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm not drawing that paycheck, but I just know if you give me a chance to go score, I want to score. And I do know that in overtime, you have to stop somebody.
I try to figure out how any offensive coordinator who has a say-so would okay somebody else having the ball first.
Well, you said some big words there. Who has a say-so? Who has a say-so? I've been on those phones before. From a certain set of headphones. There's some things that come up on those phones, and you know, okay, boss, here we go. You know,
I mean, but that's why I asked you the question, because yeah. you've been on those sidelines yeah. and in those booths yeah. and on those headphones,
mm-hmm.
and not one. Here's the other thing. I'll ask you this, and Harrison, watch this. I'll ask you a question, Barry.
You're smiling too much, DP.
How many staffs have you been on where you practice what was going to happen if you went to overtime? Did you have a play call list for when you go to overtime offensively, defensively? Did you know who was going to get the ball first? Did you know what the four plays you were going to run in overtime? How many staffs have you been on where those things are known before the opening kickoff?
Exactly 3.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And I have 3 state championships. Wait. And I have 3 state championship rings.
Bruh! Louder for the people in the back.
Okay, man. One more time. Exactly 3, and I have 3 state championship rings.
Boy, bye. Listen, we're going to go throw it a break and come back. BT, are you with me? Barry Thompson, 1-on-1, 92.7 The Ticket. Welcome back, 1-on-1. DP, Barry Thompson, Harrison Arms, carrying it through. We got another full night, Ticket weeknights. Oh, man, Don Point Hour. Kendall Lanier comes on. She's got a special guest.
We do, in fact, got Emma Spence.
She's got an Olympic gymnast here with the Huskers, Emma Spence, who has her own show here on Sundays on the Ticket. Got a good night, Malone Center. Got a full night. So good stuff all the way around. Barry Thompson, we're talking about it. And there's so much juice to the squeeze. In, I'm asking this thing, right? That overtime happens, Barry Thompson.
Right.
You're the coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Overtime happens. Are you running new plays, or are you running plays that have worked in overtime?
You're running a combination of the plays that have worked, and you will have one or two that you're kind of holding in your pocket a little bit. Maybe one or two, and maybe it's a 2-point play. Usually your 2-point plays are ones that you can kind of duplicate and have in your overtime. You know, and that is if that wild gambler's not in the booth that day. So you're running things at work. Their defense structure is their defensive structure. You're looking at the plays that you've had success with. This is where you need that good decision maker, right? Because you can call a good play, and they're ready for it, right? They've made an adjustment. And so now your decision maker has to get you to the right spot. That's what you're really relying on, your execution and your decision maker. And then you have one or two plays that you may have carried over. It may be a two-point play that you reuse again and may have a way of dressing it up. But you're not making any things up in that moment. You is who you is.
Well, there's the thinking like-minded, and a part of our relationship was always we thought as a quarterback receiver, we thought in okay, what can I get the receiver group to be for Barry's quarterbacks and yeah. Barry's quarterbacks to those receivers? What can they do? Hey, where yeah. can we get you the ball that this will work? Yeah. Or what can we attack? And right. it was mutual thought that after four quarters of play, me as a receiver and you will meet at the end horn of the fourth quarter, end of regulation, before we take the field in overtime.
Right.
And what we will process is four quarters of resume and tape.
Yeah.
Of, hey, B, you know what? Where the wins are.
Yes. The question
I to your know where the wins are.
Yeah. The question is to your quarterback and your receiver, hey, what do you like? What do you like?
Like, oh.
Yeah, what do you like?
Like you have.
Yep.
And again, you're talking about a 25-yard field
mm-hmm.
that I literally could say to Barry, press coverage, fade. Throw it 2 yards inside and 2 yards away from the pylon.
Yep.
And if they're in release coverage, I'm going to run the slant. I'll box him out. We'll take the seven. He's got to make a tackle in open field right. against me. We like the odds of it. And then if we have to go to play two, it's the same, literally same discussion. And we don't even have to talk about it.
Right. It's what you like. What do you like?
Because Barry knows, hey, listen, we ran play one. If we ran the slam play one and he's playing the same way, he's going to jump that. We'll just call Sluggo. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
Barry will throw me to green.
Or in overtime, I'll have you go slant out because he'll dive yeah. down on that cut. Yeah, there we go.
All right. We'll run that bench route. We'll run. Yeah. Look, we yeah. I don't understand how at this level, you haven't reached that level of high repetition, high communication, mm-hmm. high structure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some knowledge. Now, the guys, you know, the defenses that they face now, you know, can be a little more complicated, but you're right. It does – the simplicity is, what do you like? What's good, right? That's it. I mean, you've gotten there four quarters, so something's been good.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you like? What's good? And that's what you ride with in that moment. Like I said, you get in those moments, you is who you is, right? This is nutcracking time, right? Mm-hmm. They know where you have to go. There's no big field. We're in a box all together, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows there's no halftime. There's no, you know, this is it. You know, there's so yeah, the overtime is a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah, there should be time in that. The quarterback position has evolved.
Yes.
And that at every level, every single level of football play in America, young quarterbacks or quarterbacks in full are more prepared.
Yes.
For whatever is going to be thrown at them. You and I were talking at the number, yes. the percentage numbers
yes.
that young quarterbacks are getting in this day and age. And you can talk about, we talked right. about Dylan Raiola. We can yeah. talk about Jaden Daniels. We can talk right. about all the different things, right? That quarterbacks are better coached and better prepared. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it is. And it's that in the offensive structure. Some years ago, I guess six, seven, 8 years ago, however long it was, And I'm going to credit Trent Dilfer and the Elite 11. They had a format at the time that Trent put together called a super regional. And the idea was at Ohio State. And the idea was that they, as they toured the country, they were used to kind of keeping in their mind like who the best was and best guys were, and then inviting them to this final. But this year they said, you know what, we want to keep track of all the guys and have them all in one place. And they did that, and they called it a super regional. Now, the other thing they did behind that is they had an open invite to some of the best, what they thought some of the top quarterback trainers in the United States were. There's a book called Bruce Feldman wrote the book. I forget the title. Modern QB. Bruce Feldman wrote it. And in that opening chapter, he describes that auditorium where all those quarterback coaches were. And there was a message from him and Steve Stentrum, who went to Stanford. They played for the Niners for a little bit, about how all these quarterback coaches should start to work together, and that together they could elevate the position. And in my mind, that's kind of an origin story of what I've seen over the last 5 or 6 years. I was looking at the quarterback that I'm working with at W&L. This is his very first year as a varsity quarterback. And through four games, he's around 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. But his completion percentage is 79%. And then I looked, if you look on the Max Preps in Virginia, the top 10, four of the quarterbacks are mine, and three of the four are 70% or higher. And there's others on that list. And so you just look at that versus the old adage, well, you know, when you throw the ball, there's three things that can happen and two of them are bad. Well, it has to do with the high percentage passes that throw on the screens and little things like that. That adds up. But it also, there are times when they're going downfield and they're hitting these passes. That also goes to the offensive structures that have come into play. Right, that guys are getting better about making decisions, understanding their offense, understanding their defense. And when you see a completion percentage that high, then it naturally goes that in practice, there's times in high school fields where the ball's not hitting the ground very much. And it is really changing things to be able to execute at that level, or to pick among a broader spectrum of guys who can execute at that level. It's significant.
Is it the number of throws and things that young quarterbacks are seeing in practice and in drills that makes it easier and more convenient for them going into live fire, right? You've seen it before. You've right. watched, you've had these conversations. What are right. you looking for? Where are your eyes?
Right.
What's your footwork? Right. What are you trying to accomplish with it? I think that's showing up in young quarterback play in the NFL. Brock Purdy was a great example. Right. Jaden Daniels Monday night was every example. My goodness. And listen, we can talk about that throw and catch, play call, throw, catch.
Right.
That if you were to draw a playbook for identifying down and distance situation circumstance,
mm-hmm.
then to have a quarterback that knows how much time he has and what he needs to do with that football.
Right.
And then have a receiver understand time, understand I don't have all day. Mm-hmm. I got to get there, where the ball is going to be placed, keep separation in space, and then attack the dang ball and finish the play.
Yeah, it takes a lot to complete a pass. I mean, and we're skipping the pass protection part of it. Yeah. But for a quarterback from that perspective, There are about two types of deep balls that a quarterback will throw. One you see in the combine, and they ask the quarterbacks to throw the receiver from the top of the numbers to the bottom of the numbers. So that's one of the two passes. The first one is, which they don't need to see them do, I think they do it, is keep them on the top of the numbers. That first pass is when your receiver has smoked the DB. You've got to get the ball up in the air and let your guy go run and go get it, because you don't want to slow him down. The second one is where the defensive back is stride for stride for your guy, but you see their space to the right or left, and you move him from the top of the numbers to the bottom of the numbers. That's all well and good, but from the quarterback's perspective, what he has to do, he not only has to be able to execute those throws consistently just on their own, but he has to instinctively, by processing what the defender's doing or how he's defending, instantaneously throw the right ball. Now, on the receiver end, as you know, the receiver, no matter where he is, has to set a boundary. He can't be pushed or squeezed out, right? And then at the pro level, he has to have dead eyes and he has to have late hands and to catch the ball. And so when you watch that play, all of that was executed, right? You barely saw the hands go up, right? The defender just had no – you're looking in at the defensive back, and you're, I mean the receiver, and you're looking for a throwing cue. Normally the eyes will dilate, right? They'll get bigger. The hands will go up, and you know that's your cue to either play through his hands or turn back and go. And when you watch that play over and over again, that defensive back had no problem because their throw was executed right, their route was run right, and the guy had dead eyes and slow hands. It was just a beautiful play.
Beautiful, and on command. Great finish.
Yeah, on command.
Great finish. Great finish all the way around. BT, we'll throw the break. When we come back, we'll ask you that question. You know where we're going with it. We need to know. Cooking with the Coach. What are you cooking? We'll all find right, that baby. Out here. One-on-one with Barry Thompson. Welcome back. Final segment. And we've got a long weeknight for you. So, middle of the week, we'll take you deep into the night. Got some really cool new programming next week. Kyle Perry will be back with Uncut, and he'll be five nights a week. Good to have the Southpaw and the left-hander, the captain, joining us. Working on some other projects, too. And, of course, next week, the teammates mentoring hour on Tuesdays will take place. Des Moines and Ashton Hunter will get us through. It's good times around here and lots going on. It's Purdue week and all those things. It's good stuff.
Boilermakers.
Yeah, I got to get the Boilermakers. But let me ask the question, Barry Thompson, what are you cooking?
Well, listen, there are a gazillion ways to make chili, and anybody has a recipe out there, if you serve it to me, I'll eat it. But there is only one way to make what's called a bowl of red. And literally, the term chili con carne literally means chili with meat. It doesn't mean anything else. And so I made a bowl of red, and it's a real simple dish. It's a real great dish. You get 3 or 4 pounds of your meat, you know, chuck, roast, but you can do brisket if you want, or you have game meat. And then you're going to take some combination of dried chilies. I used guajillo and ancho chilies. You have to deseed them. You toast them a little bit, and then you're going to rehydrate them. And while it's rehydrating, you're going to make, I don't know, like a slurry, a kind of a blonde roux. You'll add a little bit of chicken stock to that. And then those rehydrated chilies go into a blender along with that roux thing that you made. And you blend it up till it's really smooth. You brown your meat. And then, you know, you may pour off some of the fat, put the meat back in. You put that blended chili sauce in. You add a seasoning blend, pretty basic, you know, salt, garlic powder, onion powder. You know, pepper, a couple bouillon cubes, saison packet, whatever you want, that goes in. And you bring it up to a boil, cut it down to a simmer about an hour. And then after about an hour, another seasoning spice you'll put in is cumin and a little bit of Mexican oregano. Regular oregano is okay. Put that in, let it go for 45 minutes. And it is a delicious bowl of what they call red. And if you think about how people ate off a check wagon back in the day, you know, there weren't any tomatoes, right? You had dried fruit, you had some meat, you had some flour, you had some salt. And so I had a Texas bowl of red. It's really good. If you love beef and you love the complexity of chilies and what they can do, and you can adjust your heat level. These chilies aren't hot chilies. These are subtle, you know, complex. And I'm sure Mr. Meyer's thinking about a great wine to go with it. And before we go, if you indulge me, I got a shout out for a couple of QBs. But that's what we're eating: bowl of red, Texas red.
We just shared pictures of it at 937 The Ticket. And Harrison, yeah. If you would, each week we want to clip Barry's cooking with Coach.
we can make a full playlist.
Yeah, we can do that. Book. Let's get your shout outs in, Barry Thompson.
Yeah, just the quarterbacks have gotten off a great start. Shout out to Ethan Ross down in Averett. He was ODAC Player of the Week. Presley Egbers was Offensive Player of the Week in the Centennial Conference. Charles Mutter threw for 500 yards. They won their opener down in Emory Henry. And then Max Preps did a thing where they did a map and they wanted to know where FBS quarterbacks came from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all respect to California, Texas, and Florida. But Virginia was tied for eighth with Alabama with four quarterbacks, and two of those quarterbacks are mine. I want to shout out to Grant Wilson at ODU, and a shout out to Billy Edwards from University of Maryland. And then I need to give a shout out to my other FBS quarterbacks, Noah Kim at Coastal, Tony Musket at UVA, and Daniel Leposky at Delaware. So I just wanted to, I think those guys deserve some mention. So thanks for letting me do it.
No, those are the guys. I mean, Billy Edwards, listen, Billy Edwards Jr.
Yes, sir.
let's give that man his props for what he's doing with the Terps. I talked to Johnny Holiday, and that was, he was kind of describing the trajectory and the growth of Billy Edwards and how important it was. Again, coming in after Tagovailoa at Maryland and his run, the expectations were kind of wavering and fluid. And then to have him come in, win the job, establish himself, and then have this the type of success he's having in the early season, well done. I mean, you see the work, and I think that's the big part.
Yeah.
Is you get to see the work.
Yeah.
You get to see, you know what? He's not just showing up unprepared. He's not just slinging it. He's making impressive decisions. He's being smart with the ball, and he's being athletic. And listen, I don't know how much of the work is putting your foot in the ground to move the chains, but all of your quarterbacks seem to have that capability.
Yeah, they are. And we got a third section. I want to give a big shout out. We talk about this all the time. Billy is an outstanding young man. I'll just give a sample. I won't embarrass him, but I went over to watch a practice, and it was one of those off days kinds. So they were fitting a practice in. They had to go to the Ravens game, and their schedules are full, tick tock, tick tock. And I was expecting just to get away from him. Hey, coach, thanks for coming. He came over, and we talked a little bit about what he saw, what was going on in the session, stayed with me. And then I'm sure he's going to leave at that point, right? And then he says, I'll walk you out. And as we're walking out, we're going up the elevator. We get off one of the elevators, and I see a big graphic. And I kind of teasingly say, hey, Billy, you need one of those. He says, get back on the elevator. Take me up the stairs. So he took me up to the coach's office, right, where they bring all the recruits. And I don't want to embarrass him, but there's a big graphic of him up there from the Music City Bowl. And then he just didn't say goodbye. He walked me down to the landing, you know, the platform. Just, I'm so proud, and all my guys, Leposky's like that, Noah's like that, just really proud. They can play football, but, man, they're some outstanding human beings.
That, but you and I both know that is on purpose.
Yeah.
That is on purpose. That's part of why people bring their young people to you, is that not only are they going to get better on the field, they're absolutely going to get better off the field. And that's why we love you, BT. Appreciate you, kind sir.
Thank you.
That's Barry Thompson, one-on-one. We'll do it again next week. But until, don't go anywhere. Don't punt hour. Coming up here on The Ticket.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.